Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United are brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax, proud partner of your Atlanta United and your local Ford dealer.
The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So Atlanta United one big step closer to being able to host at least one playoff game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. One more win in their last four matches will do it, because tonight they defeat Cincinnati 2-0 on the road here at Nippert Stadium. We're still very much on a college campus, and as I look out at, you know, the setting beyond the stadium, Jason, we have we have an intramural something, I think Ultimate Frisbee, going on across the parking lot on that AstroTurf field over there. I've seen a couple students walking by with book bags. That dorm over there, someone has scrawled profanity on the windows third floor.
That's
extreme
not good.
Profanity.
That's not good.
And then in this field house here behind the stadium, there's been a Zumba class going on for like 2 hours.
Huh.
And they have big, big windows to show you what's going on in the Zumba class, I guess. So, and someone on a trumpet, a lone trumpeter, is playing Na Na Hey Hey Goodbye somewhere.
Sounds a little sad.
It does. The band was warming up here. The Cincinnati Bearcat Marching Band was warming up before the match tonight. So it's an
weird
interesting
setting.
Yeah. It's interesting, but hey, look, the big thing is we're kind of messing around here. Atlanta United on two fantastic goals by Joseph Martinez win an unusual match tonight. 2-0 over Cincinnati. Didn't feel the prettiest, didn't feel like the best performance of the year for Atlanta United, but it really doesn't matter, because at this point of the season, draws are as bad as losses. You had to come out of here with 3 points. They found a way to get the job done.
They did, and they found a way to change the game a bit in the second half. It was interesting because we talked about it. I mean, there's so many different ways you can tackle that. The team you're playing is sitting deeper. They're looking to hit you on the counter. They had a good 10 minutes or so where you still had opportunities, but they were starting to look a little dangerous. We saw Caleb Stanko warming up at halftime. We're thinking, all right, they're going to bring him on and kind of shut things down. Atlanta United was a little less patient in the early portion of the second half leading up to the goal. They weren't reckless, though. They weren't reckless like Saturday. They just pushed the pace a little bit, sped things up, took a little more of a direct route at times, and opened the game up. They had less possession in the second half. It went from 78% to 56%, but they had more meaningful possession and created more chances out of it. And Joseph doesn't need much. You don't have to give him too much, and he's going to get something for you.
Yeah, man of the match tonight is pretty easy. Brought to you by Heineken.
Easiest all year.
And look, a lot of players played well. I mean, I don't want it to seem like Joseph saved the day for Atlanta United. There were two amazing goals, but a lot of players played well tonight. Leandro Guzan in particular, but boy, oh boy, Joseph. And now really think about this. 26 goals with four matches remaining. If he continues at his current pace, he's going to get to 31 for a second straight year. No one had 28 before last year. Unbelievable what Joseph has accomplished in his very short time in MLS.
There's a new number that we're tracking that is kind of blowing my mind when you really, truly consider it. And big-time shout-out to the communications team with Atlanta United for dropping this one in the notes. We know Joseph has the most goals in a three-year span. He blew that out of the water a long time ago. He's got 76 now. BWP had 68 from 2014 to 2016. Well, let's take that up a notch. Most goals in a four-year span. All right, Joseph's been in the league for not even three.
Yeah, I was going to say he hasn't played 4 years.
He hasn't even played a full three yet. 76 goals for Joseph. He is third all-time in that list. David Villa has 77, one ahead of him for his whole career.
He will likely catch him.
Yes. And Bradley Wright Phillips, 85 through a four-year span. Joseph has four more games this year and a whole nother season before he finishes his fourth year.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We will be talking about a statue one day for this young man, Joseph Martinez. The last time he played at Nippert Stadium, by the way, he was part of that Venezuela dismantling of the U.S. men's national team back in June. Just a very embarrassing day for Greg Berhalter's side. Joseph, I think, came on as a sub in that match. And he comes back to Nippert tonight and scores two goals, our man of the match. Brought to you by Heineken. As far as the stats are concerned, interesting. 15-14, the shots, Atlanta United. Five shots on target for Atlanta, two for Cincinnati. It felt like Guzan had to do way more than just make two saves tonight. I should point that out. Corners were 7-4 Atlanta. Fouls 12-9 Atlanta. Crosses, remember, Atlanta United had 24 on Saturday against Columbus. Only 12 tonight. Possession ended up 66-34 in favor of Atlanta United tonight.
Other individual numbers, because Joseph is your man of the match. He scores a goal like that second one. He's man of the match if he didn't do anything else all day. Other players who stood out, though, Pitty Martinez created three chances in 60 minutes. He was very effective. Gets an assist, his ninth of the season. Darlington Nagbe gained possession 11 times in the middle of the park. Gave you his usual Darlington Nagbe performance where he regains possession 11 times. He only lost it six times all day. And with the number of touches he has, that's ridiculous. Eric Rometty led the team in tackles with four. Clearances, Escobar and LGP. And Escobar, by the way, he had a very bad 90-second stretch, maybe 120 seconds. But outside of that, he had three clearances. He gained possession 10 times. He only lost it 10 times. He was very effective in that role. And I think the back three we saw today, LGP, Miles Robinson, and Franco Escobar, that's your back three. That's your back three the rest of the year.
Now, LGP is on a big, big tightrope with yellow cards. He got another one
again
tonight.
You're going to have those happen.
Exactly. That will happen. Rometty is on that tightrope as well right now. But that's just something you're going to have to manage in the final four matches starting Saturday against San Jose. We'll have more to come here from Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati right after this. Keep sending us your questions and your comments at Mike Conti 929. And at Longshoe, as Atlanta United defeats Cincinnati this evening 2-0 here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. That originates from the city which Atlanta United conquered. Tonight, that city is Cincinnati. 2-0 winners over FC Cincinnati tonight. And I did not know prior to right now that the Isley brothers are from Cincinnati.
From the Lincoln Heights section of Cincinnati. And there's even a Georgia connection because Sally, their mother,
Georgia. Oh, do you know where?
I'm not sure.
Well, connections all around, and we're going to have a lot of fun with the music tonight on the Full-Time Report, as we always do. After an Atlanta United win, the first time we've ever played Cincinnati music on the Full-Time Report, because tonight, of course, was the first time that Atlanta United has ever beaten this expansion team. 2-0, In a statistically even match, I looked it up during the commercial break, 11-11 were the chances created tonight. As we told you earlier, 15-14 the shots in favor of Atlanta. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, and we're going to get into this a little later on, kind of struggling to wrap their heads around this Atlanta United performance tonight. And I think where I'm at, Jason, tell me if you agree, is I would say Atlanta United controlled the match, dominated the match tonight.
They controlled it. They absolutely controlled it. And what I like, pair it to Saturday, instead of more of the same, they found something a little different, not drastically different. They didn't lose their identity. This was a team that was wanting to control the game with the ball. But they did stuff that was just a little different in the second half. They sped things up. They played a little faster. But they maintained that shape, and they maintained the discipline defensively, because Cincinnati, in transition, until the very end after you had the 2-0 lead, they really didn't create very much through transition play. Atlanta defended in a pretty organized way.
And Atlanta's two goals came in transition. You're going to hear them in a moment. First, though, the first half, the story was Atlanta United getting two really good chances in the first 12 minutes. Chemishlav Titon, the Cincinnati goalkeeper, making two excellent saves. And then there was a broken play off a corner kick for Cincinnati that very, very nearly produced the first goal of the match, and it would have been for the home team. Brad Guzan made the initial save. Eric Rometty, then guarding the back post, cleared it off the line, and here is what it sounded like. It sounded like stunned silence.
I was stunned. It was a great save.
Because we were both stunned at how close Cincinnati came to scoring that goal. And Dylan, our producer, when the cut is ready, please let us know in our ear.
Eric Rometty with also on the back post.
Oh, now we have found out why we didn't get it on time.
No.
Because Doc Sock, John Chuckery, is not letting our producer do his job and produce the full-time
I know Chuckery's making
report.
Song requests.
Well, you know what? We will take that up with him during the break. Our listeners demand highlights here on the full-time report, right? Dylan, is it ready? It's about ready now. Okay, here again, off of Cincinnati corner, the save initially by Guzan, and then Rometty, the final clear off the line. Maya takes a couple steps behind the corner flag. Right arm in the air. Strikes the ball, going for the penalty spot. Header parried over the crossbar and then cleared off the line. It rolls to the left side of the box and is kept alive by Zhao. Here's a one-timer that deflects off Escobar and out for another corner. Yeah, good play. And Eric Rometty, by the way, is someone that I think we may have overlooked a little bit in listing some of the good performances by Atlanta United tonight. Rometty was so much better tonight than he was this past Saturday against Columbus.
Yeah, after a poor performance on Saturday, Rometty showed you why he's such a critical part of this team. I mean, there were takes that Eric Rometty might be losing a spot in this 11. No,
yeah.
It's not happening. Eric Rometty is as important as really anyone in this team, the way he plays and the way he gives you what he did tonight. That's not even getting into just the discipline to stay on the post and make the play that's required in that moment.
No score at halftime. No subs for either team to begin the second half. And then finally, the breakthrough in the 59th minute. A pretty goal in transition for Atlanta United. Pitti Martinez sending it up to Joseph Martinez. Guzan out to punch. Then it's cleared by Hyndman, and Joseph accepts it in stride and bounces it down the middle to Pitti. Here's a two-on-two now. Pitti and Joseph. Pitti ahead to Joseph. Top of the arc. Dribbles in. Shot. Score! Champagne soccer for Atlanta United on the counter to take the 1-0 lead in the 59th minute. So that was Joseph's 25th goal of the year. It was Pitti's 9th assist of the year. He was taken out right after that play.
Unbelievable counter from Atlanta, something we hadn't seen a lot of because they'd been in control. There's not as much need to counter. But it starts with a punch off a set piece. Hyndman with just a good ball out to Joseph, who takes it in stride. And Joseph and Pitti play a very separated wall pass, essentially, into space, and Joseph is going to bury that. And if that was champagne soccer,
yeah,
I don't know what the other one is.
And I'm going to tell you right now. So 6 minutes later, Joseph to make it 2-0. I haven't heard the highlight yet. I know there's no way I did this goal justice just because so much was happening here. Here is the goal, and then we'll try to explain. Now it's locked up in the middle third. Bialba digs for it, wins it. Pressel sending it up to Joseph, who backheels into traffic, then takes a touch inside the box, another touch. Shot! Score! Golazo!
Oh, my goodness.
How does he do it? 2-0 Atlanta United. All right, that wasn't as bad as I thought. The back heel to himself between two Cincinnati defenders. Good Lord. It's a cheat code at that point, isn't it?
Look, I'm not even going to lie. You see a goal like that, you're not going to see those very often. Those are the goals that bring tears to your eyes, because when you love this game and you love a team like so many of the 17s love Atlanta United, that's a goal that you'll remember where you were when you saw it.
I agree.
Because it's that good.
Yeah.
It's that good. It's a goal of the year. I don't know if it gets it this year. I don't know if there's others that might get it ahead of it. But that goal, I don't think there's anybody else in this league who is scoring that goal. And I don't think there's many players in the world who are scoring that goal.
Yeah, I mean, in my 2 years doing this, there are a few goals that you do, like, really vividly remember. That Tito run in the playoff game against New York Red Bulls. The Tito run against Columbus. Mm-hmm. The Tito goal in San Jose from just outside the box before halftime. Larenowitz's goal against Club America in the Campione's Cup. Barco's golazo in New England. Mm-hmm. Another champagne football example. I think that one, recency does come into play, but that one feels like it tops it all.
It does.
As far as individual quality is concerned.
Yeah, it does, because the goals that we're talking about from Atlanta United that go down in history are bombs from distance or speed. This one, it's a simple ball, and it's the easiest assist that Julian Gressel's ever going to get in his life, because Joseph Martinez backheels it to himself, beats two defenders, leaves one of them on the ground, and then executes a difficult finish. It's just, you're not going to see that every day.
And now, I mean, let's look at this. 26 goals for Joseph, two behind Vela, and they are now even on matches. So both Atlanta United and LAFC have four to play. If you are curious, LAFC plays Toronto, Houston, Minnesota, Colorado. Vela's going to score some goals in that stretch. I think what it's going to come down to, Jason, does Joseph have that hat trick in him? He's had a couple braces now this year. Can he squeeze a hat trick or maybe even two? It might take two out of these final four matches, because if Joseph ends up winning Golden Boot, it is one of the great individual comebacks in the history of the Golden Boot race.
And the thing about Joseph is he could care less. He wants 12 points.
Exactly.
He wants 12 more points out of this season. If he gets zero goals, has zero assists, and Zlatan and Vela both break his record from last year, he does not care. He wants 12 points for this team.
That goal, by the way, was the hot play in the match brought to you by Scana. I think that goes without
Scana
saying,
Scana got their
right?
money's worth tonight.
No doubt. And it would end 2-0, and Atlanta United really saw the match out very, very well. Cincinnati looked pretty unthreatening in the final 25 minutes after that Joseph goal. Again, Atlanta United 16-11-3 now on 51 points. Still third in the East, but in better shape now to maybe get a number one or at least a number two seed, and in very, very good shape to get a first-round home game. Cincinnati remains in last place, 6-22-3 on 21 points. And again, the clean sheet for Brad Guzan, 14th of the year, two away from tying the record. With San Jose, New York City, Montreal, and New England still to play. For every Atlanta United clean sheet, Atlanta United donates $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. So with tonight's clean sheet, Atlanta United donates another $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta for a season donation total of $28,000. How about that? We'll take your questions and your comments on Twitter right after this. Last call. Tweet us at Mike Conti 929 and at Longshoe as Atlanta United takes down Cincinnati 2-0 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You said the words without speaking. Now I'm going to make you mine.
Bigger fan of the Isley Brothers than I am of 98 Degrees. Nick Lachey, maybe the most famous and most unabashed of the Cincinnati Bearcat supporters, and we played tonight in their home football stadium here. 98 Degrees bringing us back on the full-time report with Atlanta United defeating FC Cincinnati 2-0.
That's a boy band not from Orlando.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is going to make some people mad. Weren't they kind of a second-tier boy band in the late 90s? Like, you had Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And again, with all due respect to 98 Degrees, who were phenomenally successful, but don't you think there was a step down between Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and then, say, 98 Degrees, who might have been more on the level of O-Town?
Ooh.
Or Together?
Ooh. Wow.
Remember Together, the fake boy band that MTV, they put
Chris, oh, no, I remember.
Chris Farley's brother was on it.
Wasn't it U plus me equals us or something like that?
I know
like
my
that?
Calculus. Yeah. U plus me equals us.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was, oh, man, I remembered that. That's frightening.
Maybe 98 Degrees was a little above.
Yeah. If that's the tiers, there's a middle tier.
Then they're in the middle tier.
Yeah.
They're above. They're above O-Town and I just forgot them. Together.
Yes.
Yeah.
They might be overall better singers than all of them.
Yeah.
Good vocals.
Yeah, arguable.
They kind of did a little bit of the R&B. They leaned more R&B than the others. That was a really in-depth conversation about 98 Degrees.
I'll tell you, they dance a lot better than that boy band and that AT&T commercial that you see all the time right now.
Yes.
Boy, oh boy. That ad is sure being played a lot on television screens across North America. Anyhow, Atlanta United 2-0 winners over FC Cincinnati tonight. Everything, of course, is better when Atlanta United wins, because with today's win, that's another donation of $1,000 to Piedmont Healthcare Foundation for a current total of $16,000. It's a not-for-profit hospital system. Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United is proud to be a Piedmont donor. Let's get to your questions now on Twitter. Trombone Steve. Felt slow to start, but I think that was Cincinnati's plan. It opened when they began to press and we could find some space, better passing, and some great finishing. Could we have utilized Gressel on the wing more? He looked open a lot.
He had a lot of opportunities. The thing about Julian Gressel that I think his game is becoming more of in the system, he's in some ways a bit of a luxury to have, because you want him to spread the field. You want to give him opportunities to hit the cross that he's so good at. And you'll take 5, 6, 7 that are not good, because you know he can make something happen with one. And it's worth having him there. I think he had a number of opportunities. He had a number of touches. I don't think he wasn't used. I wouldn't say Atlanta was slow in the early going. I think they took what their manager said to heart from the weekend, and probably said again on Sunday when they were doing regen, and probably said a lot on Monday, and probably said yesterday and today, be patient. Be patient. And they were. And what they did in the second half, it's not as much that Cincinnati pressed. They didn't do that until after the goal happened. Cincinnati started to struggle when Atlanta pushed the pace. When they sped up, that was when Cincinnati started to break down.
There were a lot of overtones, in my opinion, Jason, to the road matches in Kansas City and Portland, where it was kind of a grinding start on the road in those two matches. They did get early goals there, but it was like 1-0 at halftime. And then whatever happens at halftime happens, and you come out really determined in the second half, and your patience does pay off. And then you can break down your opponent with 2 second-half goals, as we had here again tonight. It just felt like that kind of match to me.
Absolutely. It's a patient performance. It's a very measured performance. And when you can do that and only give up 2 shots on goal, that's pretty good.
Absolutely. Scott Moore says he missed the first half because he was tiling his shower.
Okay. That's a new one.
Scott, radio's working, shower stalls.
It's true. The shower wasn't on while you were tiling it, so.
Even if it was on, there are radios that are waterproof.
Oh, for sure.
But I don't think the grout would really stick if the water was turned on.
That's true. That'd be poor technique.
But after that, he says, it was fun watching Joseph score those goals in the second half. He wants to know, where is the best location for the statue?
Oh, that's a good question. So you have the stadium. You have the Falcon on the one side. Do you do it somewhere in the other side, the other plaza, the North Side Drive side of it? You have the giant soccer ball.
Could you have, like, a Paul Bunyan-esque Joseph kicking the giant soccer ball?
I'm fine with that. You can make that statue as big as you want. If he's going to keep scoring goals like he did tonight, you can make that statue as large as you want because he'll deserve every bit of it.
The only thing I care about is that the statue is of Joseph in the likeness of doing that hop before a penalty, because that seems to be the trademark for Joseph over the last 2 years. Daniel Price just looked at Transfermarkt, and it has Joseph valued at $11.5 million. Is Transfermarkt drunk?
Yes.
I mispronounced that. Is Transfermarkt drunk with his performance tonight and his performances over all these past two seasons? He deserves to be valued so much higher.
There's not really a good valuation of Major League Soccer talent, and I think we saw that with all of the drama around the Miguel Almiron transfer, where I don't think the international media, and Transfermarkt is a, you know, an estimate of market value. I don't think they know what to value Major League Soccer players at. I mean, Joseph Martinez, he plays like he has over the 3 years here in Atlanta. He can go anywhere in the world. He can play in any league in the world.
He can, but he's been very, very clear that he does not want to.
Oh, no, no,
because he loves, and I this cannot be downplayed.
Yeah.
He loves Atlanta so much, and he has played in places like Torino where he has not loved where he has played, and he has not been loved in the same way that that he is loved in Atlanta. The only thing I hope for Joseph is that someone can finally find his dog, Hassie, who is still missing, I'm told.
Yes, I did see that.
Please
really
help Joseph find
help
that pup.
Find dog.
That poor girl. I think Hassie's a girl. I'm almost positive.
I think so.
Hunter Barnes, is it me, or is there a reason why officials treat Atlanta United differently with fouls, meaning our fouls are met with cards, where any other team can be extremely physical and get away with almost anything? It's getting exhausting how much this feels against us.
It's taken a toll on my voice, I know that much, because I get a little upset about it at times when it's just as egregious as it was tonight. It's I don't understand it, because I think the point that is made there is very key. Atlanta United doesn't commit a ton of fouls, but they pick up a ton of cards.
In fact, they are last in MLS
exactly.
in fouls committed.
And where are they in cards? Pretty high. Pretty high. Top five, probably. Definitely top 10. Definitely top half. That's not typical that you see that much disparity. Usually
right.
a team that fouls a lot picks up a lot of cards. Atlanta's a very vocal team. Leandro Gonzalez-Pires will let his opinion be heard, and Franco Escobar will do the same, and others will too, and maybe that is the reason why they get a lot of cards. If that's the reason why, that's a problem for referees in this league, because that should not be happening. When you see at halftime, because the referees are going to talk about what happened, they're going to break it down. When you get a look at the studs up to the groin area of Leandro Gonzalez-Pires, that was no card. And then you give him a very quick yellow on a foul at midfield. Come on, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Just to clarify, by the way, there have been some questions about Franco Escobar. No, he is not on the yellow card tightrope, and he will not be on the yellow card tightrope Saturday. One of our listeners said he was on 10 yellows. I have him at 8, and he may have also gotten a good behavior incentive since the Seattle match in which he received his 5th yellow, which resulted in his suspension for the Houston match.
I'm assuming he's 2 away now, because he was not listed
right.
in the match notes as being 2 away, and I think he's got to be 2 away at this point.
The league will let us know when someone is 2 away.
Yeah.
What we can tell you is Eric Rometty and Leandro Gonzalez-Pires are 1 away, and in fact, Ricky Ricardo wants to know, would it be beneficial to sit LGP Saturday in order to ensure that he is not suspended for the New York City match.
I just don't think you can afford to. It's smart thinking. I just don't think you can afford to do it at this point. I think if you had beaten Columbus, you had a cushion, maybe you could take that chance. I think he's too important. I think he's too critical to it. And I think bringing Pogba back into the team, unless he has a couple great training sessions, maybe it's a different conversation. I don't know. Bringing Parker back into the team, who hasn't played in quite a while, I think you have to go with LGP, and you just have to hope he can manage the situation.
There is also a certain one-game-at-a-time element that I think you're in right now. Because, again, there is no margin for error. Even if you win out, you still need at least a little bit of help to get the number one seed, which is the obvious goal for Atlanta United. You got to take it one match at a time. I'm in agreement with you. One more from Coach K. Seems that many Atlanta United fans don't grasp the reality that there have only been three teams to repeat as MLS champions, and none of those replaced a coach after winning their first title. The league is designed for parity, and that is what we are seeing, but Atlanta United still has a decent chance to repeat.
It's a great point, because Atlanta United has 51 points now through 30 matches. That puts them, since 2000, since the shootout era ended in MLS, that puts them, even with the Houston Dynamo, as a defending MLS Cup champion on points. The all-time record for points as a defending champion in the non-shootout era is 56.
Yeah.
By RSL in 2010, it's not easy to do what Atlanta United's doing. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they have two trophies. One of them, yes, Campeones Cup. It's one game against Club America. The other one, the Open Cup. You went through it. You won it. Now you're going back into CONCACAF. Frank DeBoer has done an amazing job with this team dealing with all of the challenges early, dealing with the somewhat on-again, off-again saga with Miguel Almiron, and is he going to go, and then incorporating Pity Martinez, and then playing in CONCACAF for the first time, giving Monterrey a tough battle, beating them in Atlanta, dealing with injuries early on. He hasn't had his preferred starting 11 from the way he explained it to us on day one of training camp. 4-3-3 is what he had in mind. And he had never had Franco Escobar and George Bello available at the same time.
Not once all year.
Not once. So to do what he's done, have a slow start after the CONCACAF exit, win an Open Cup, win a Campeones Cup, have two long streaks of great performances in very different ways this season, and just add layers and add layers and add layers to what this team is and deal with the adversity he's had to deal with. In most seasons, he would be a Coach of the Year candidate. He's not going to be considered that because what Bob Bradley's doing, what Matias Almeida has done with the San Jose team that was terrible last year.
Jim Curtin.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few. He's not going to get that consideration, and I think somewhat he's not going to get that consideration because of a bias against him that has been there from day one, and it's incredibly unfair. You have to believe in what he's doing at this point if you're paying attention.
180th win as a professional manager tonight. By the way, speaking of George Bello, earned a penalty tonight in Kennesaw for Atlanta United 2. Jack Metcalf converted it. Andrew Carlton also scored. Luis Fernando a goal and an assist. And Atlanta United 2 defeated Charleston Battery tonight 3-1. Glassy has that team playing really well, especially at home.
Yeah, when you get a consistent group, it's a lot easier for Steven Glass to get something out of it. When he's got a lot of back and forth with guys from the first team or guys from the academy, it's you're just kind of incorporating players on a regular basis. He's been able to build with the group that he has right now, and they're playing good soccer, and they've played good soccer for quite a while. You're getting good performances from Andrew Carlton, probably the best month, 6 weeks out of his career in terms of consistent performances. You're getting good performances from academy players who are dropping in, and you're getting George Bello, who is building up for the U-17 World Cup. It's been really nice to see that team grow as the year's gone on, and now you're in a situation where if you have an injury here at the end of the season, Kevin Kratz is playing consistent minutes, Mike Ambrose is playing consistent minutes. Before the year's out, if you have to turn to George Bello, he's available. He's not going to be available in the postseason because he's going to the U-17 World Cup. Luis Fernando, goal and an assist tonight. You signed him to an MLS deal. He could be available if you need him.
Yes, no doubt about it. In a way, you hope he doesn't need to be available.
Exactly, you hope not.
It is a luxury just in case that does come up. Okay, we're going to take one final break. When we come back, we'll look ahead to Saturday. Another match very quickly for Atlanta United. It's not going to be easy. A desperate San Jose Earthquakes team coming into the bends, trying to stay above the playoff line in the West. And we will look ahead to that and wrap things up from Cincinnati right after this with Atlanta United winning tonight 2-0 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm still really pleasantly surprised about the Isley Brothers. Had no idea. For some reason, I thought they were from Detroit, part of kind of that Motown sound. But
we left a lot on the table when it comes to Cincinnati music.
Did we really?
Too. Yeah. I mean,
well,
Walk the Moon.
Okay.
Big band right now from Cincinnati.
Okay.
The National.
Yes.
Great indie band.
Yes.
It's another one you could have hit. Foxy Shazam is another good rock band.
Yes.
Some good stuff there. My favorite find, though, is an 80s R&B group called The Deal. D-E-E-L-E.
Okay.
Just like this, but about 5 years before, you probably need to be at a skating rink to hear it. Amazing stuff.
You were also telling me about a song before we came on the air tonight that comes from Cincinnati that was a big hit in the mid to late 90s.
Yes, it was.
What was that called?
I don't know if we can talk about it. It was played on the radio.
Yeah. The band and the song title are not to be repeated on this show. I do get the feeling we'll probably have more than a few victories over Cincinnati over the years to come. And as long as they let us keep doing this on the full-time report, we'll dabble further into the Cincinnati music.
Yes, there's plenty to work with.
2-0 tonight, Atlanta United over Cincinnati. The work does not stop, though. Atlanta United will fly home tomorrow. Fortunately, it's a short flight. They'll probably be able to get a regen in tomorrow. Full day of training on Friday, and then right back to the bends on Saturday. San Jose, a couple weeks ago, was third in the West. Now they are sixth, and if both Dallas and Portland win tonight, and they're both playing and they're about to kick off, if they both win tonight, then San Jose would find itself 1 point above the playoff line coming into that game in Atlanta on Saturday. So it's a big, big game for them. They have a busy week coming up. They will play midweek at home against Philadelphia next week. What do you make of this? Because it feels like San Jose has given Atlanta United matchup problems, and that was before you introduced former Chivas boss Matias Almeida into that club.
So Atlanta and the San Jose Earthquakes have met twice, and they have been two of the most ridiculous games in Atlanta United history. The July 4th back-and-forth thriller at Bobby Dodd Stadium in 2017 was topped by Joseph Martinez's late magic last year. Tito Villalba with a goal of the year candidate in there. Miguel Almiron waiting for the referee to blow the whistle for a penalty, deciding, I'm not going to wait, I'm just going to score instead. That game was one of the wildest. This one on Saturday could top both of them because of the way San Jose plays. It's a very unique style. A lot of people have described it as man-to-man all over the pitch. It's not exactly that. It's man-to-man very aggressively in most parts of the pitch. One thing that they do is they generally will leave one of the center backs unmarked, and everybody else is accounted for by a player. Now, they'll swap off, but everybody is going to be pressured. So Atlanta has to be decisive with their touch. They have to be smart with their passing. And whoever is left alone out of the center backs, if it's Escobar, if it's Robinson, if it's LGP, any of those three can carry the ball forward and break that pressure and create opportunities. It could end up being a high-scoring game because it will be wide open. And I know Saturday is a big day for sports in our area.
There's plenty of time to do both.
You need to do both because this is a game you're not going to want to hear about from your friends afterwards.
No.
this could be the wildest match of the year.
It's a 3:55 kickoff. It'll be over by 6. The other event kicks off at 8:15. It's about a 90-minute drive. You can do both. Please consider doing both. And if you can't do both, listen to us. We'll be on the air at 3 o'clock on Saturday with the Five Stripes Countdown. Like I said, 3:55, the kickoff, Atlanta United and San Jose Earthquakes. They played the wildest match of the 2018 season by a mile in that Atlanta United championship season, and we'll see if we get anything close to that this coming Saturday. That'll do it for tonight from Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati. For Dylan Matthews, our producer, and for Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. 2-0 Atlanta United over Cincinnati. Doc Sock, John Chuckery will continue the conversation right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.